The sermon this evening comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 28. Proverbs 4, starting with verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we look at your truth and we look at your instruction for our lives. And cause us to receive this with welcoming hearts. Cause us to look and to inspect our hearts and to see what we need to change. What we need to repent of. Lord, what we need to cut out. That you'll be glorified as we keep your commandments. As we rejoice in your truth, as we embrace your word. Please help us now, Father, to this end. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at these scriptures, and we'll be focusing on verse 23, the idea of guarding our hearts. Many people don't associate that with their lives. They don't walk through life thinking, how does my heart need guarded? Or how does my heart need protected? We think of soldiers and their bulletproof vests. And some of them just have these little squares where they're trying to guard their hearts because this is a key place for them. This is where their life is rescued or where their life is destroyed. Much the same way as we consider our spiritual hearts, this place of our affection, where we would love from or where we would hate from. There was a time where I was visiting an elderly woman in a nursing home, and this was right after I was saved. And I was sitting with her, and she started expounding upon this idea, and I was fascinated, and she said something that struck me, and it burned into my heart, and I think I ran home and wrote it down. She said, "Our heart is precious, and we should count it precious." Should we consider the things that we allow into it, or even the things that we allow into our mind as our thinking affects our heart and it affects our affections? The things that we would love and the things that we would give our feelings to and we would give our thoughts to really changes us. Jesus, when he was speaking in the passage from Mark, talked about from the heart flows evil or flows good. And this is coming with the same idea that the psalmist is bringing here. Now, it's striking for us to consider that Solomon penned this. Solomon had been warned, guard your heart, had been warned by the Holy Spirit. And yet we saw what Solomon did. Solomon went out and he got many wives that worshipped other gods. And the part of the last tale of Solomon is this tragic idea that his wives turned his heart away from following the true God. Now, as I was working on this, and Leslie and I were talking through this, and she said, "Well, is there a positive example that you can give?" And I said, "Well, there's Jesus. You know, Jesus pulled it off. Jesus guarded his heart." But when we look at everybody else, and we look at all of our other heroes, we see them fall. We see them fall short. And this is the reality of Scripture. And sadly and painfully, this is also the reality of our lives. That we would labor to guard our hearts. That we would labor to walk in paths of truth consistently. The Bible doesn't give us this history book of everybody who pulled it off perfectly. It's not the story of good people who did good things so good stuff happened to them. But it's the story of a faithful God. A faithful God who sees us when we stumble. A faithful God that hears us when we cry out to Him each time. And He lifts us up. Now, as we could look at Solomon and his failures, and we could look at David and his failures, as we could look at Moses and Peter, as we could look at all of them and their failures, still in the midst of those circumstances, God stoops down and says to us, "My child, listen. My child, listen. Guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life." If we were living in this culture, we would think of a spring and we would think of the place where we would get up in the morning or in the evening, or we would go and we would gather our water. And if somebody was standing there and they're throwing garbage in it, we'd have something to say about it. Well, much of our life, we find ourselves throwing garbage into our own hearts. Emptiness and even lies. But here, with the psalmist, with Solomon here, and with the Holy Spirit, and here with Jesus, I call out to you and I say, "My child, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts, for from it flow the springs of life." And our first step, you may not be surprised, is your heart is precious, so count it precious. We look again at verse 23. "Watch over your heart with all diligence." In other translations, it'll say, "Guard your heart." I heard Rich Holderman speak on this at the International Conference, and he said, "Children, if you want to draw a picture of this," and so I did, that I had in this wall, this hole, in the shape of a heart, and a spring was flowing out of it into this well, and a light was shining there, and this knight is standing there with his cape and his sword and his shield. Like, this is something worth being protected. This is something valuable. This is something sacred. And it's no surprise that the language is combined with what we would think of as a physical heart. The heart is guarded. The heart is protected. It's protected by soldiers, and you, according to Scripture, are a soldier. We see that when something impacts our heart, it impacts our very lives. It impacts our relationships. It impacts our relationship with Christ. It impacts our relationship with one another. Those of you who have known the pains of having been pulled off track, you know the sorrows associated with being off track. I oftentimes think in terms of the Christian life being an idea of walking on this clear trail that's been blazed for us. But when we go off of the trail, we find ourselves dragging through briars and thorns. We find ourselves being cut. We find ourselves being torn. And Jesus says, "Guard your heart." Guard your heart. It's a precious thing. When your heart's sick, your whole body is sick. When your heart's sick, your mind's sick. When your heart's sick, your relationships are sick. Everything is off kilter. So part of the idea is, in guarding the heart, is we would be careful of what we would put in there. The things that we would love, the things that we would watch, the places that our affections go to. And you can look at your life and just think in terms of, what has made me happy? Even this week, what has made me happy this week? Even today, what has made me happy today? Or the past month, what is it? Or what is it that you're looking forward to, that you want? Or what is it that you meditate on? The things that circle and cycle around and around in your mind. These are the things that have captured our hearts. We must look and see if these things are the things that Christ would have capture our hearts. To gauge our affections, to see, and are we rejoicing in the King? Are we rejoicing in Him and His might and His majesty? So the second move there is, watch where you allow it to run. This is your heart. And watch what you expose it to. Proverbs 22:5 gives that idea that I've already touched on. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. So to watch where we allow our hearts to run, there's barriers and boundaries that we put up to keep ourselves from falling in love with the wrong things or falling in love with the wrong person. We guard ourselves. And in this, we're keeping ourselves. We also must keep ourselves from twisted thinking. You know, our minds, they want to take reality. They want to take God's truth. And it wants to twist it and make it perverse. It wants to twist it and make it wrong. And sadly, our hearts have these places that seem to almost be made for keeping twisted and perverse thinking. It becomes deeply embedded in us. We guard ourselves from twisted and perverse people. Sometimes it's not even people that are necessarily that twisted or perverse, but sometimes it's just careless people. I was reading a situation and dealing with marriage, and it was talking about you give your heart to someone in a relationship and you expect them to take good care of it. And this guy was speaking to a husband and he said, instead you took it and you stuck it in your pocket with your car keys. Now this idea that it hasn't been cared for, that it hasn't been protected. You know, we are in a place where our hearts must be guarded. It must be protected. And to some extent, we watch out for one another and we try to help one another in this. But to a large degree, Scripture calls upon us to guard our own hearts and to protect our own hearts. So we watch where we allow it to run and we're careful to what we expose it. Now this next move here, it's allow Jesus to heal your heart. Another way to say this would be to take your heart to Jesus. We have the thorns. We have the tears and the rips and the wounds in our hearts from where we haven't guarded ourselves. Or where twisted people have touched our hearts and hurt us and damaged us, or maybe even just careless people have damaged us. But we have, for you, I have several passages here that should be very helpful for you. Psalm 41:4. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. And this is one of the ones where the idea is we've messed up. Where we've blown it. Maybe we haven't guarded our hearts. And we say, heal my soul. Psalm 147:3, it says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 53:5 talks about the idea of how our hearts are healed and rescued. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. The idea that we can look at the cross and we can look at the suffering of the cross and see that that pain and that misery that he took was out of love and affection for you. And it is that love and that affection that applies the salve to our hearts and heals us and makes us well. Isaiah 57:18, I have seen his ways. This is God speaking of us and of us who have sinned and gone in rebellion. I have seen his ways, but this is that beautiful idea that even though he has seen your ways, he's seen your sins, he's seen your crimes, but I will heal him. He He's seen your ways, but he will heal you. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners. Isaiah 57:19, creating the praise of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Jeremiah 3:22, return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithlessness. Behold, we come to you, for we are the Lord our God, for you are the Lord our God. Hosea 6:1, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. In Hosea 14:4, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. So when we find ourselves in the place where our hearts have been wounded, our hearts have been torn, even when we see that it could even be the affliction of the Lord, he heals. He blesses. He cares. He does this great work for us. Now, a part of the way that this takes place, and we'll be looking at verses 21 and 22 for this. This is our fourth move. Give your affections to God's Word. Proverbs 4:21 and 22. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. A part of what takes place, and a part of the way that our heart is both guarded and our heart is healed, is by having God's Word, Christ, the Word of Christ, and keeping it in our heart and treasuring it. I don't know how much of the revelation Joseph had, but Joseph's heart is a great example of this. When Potiphar's wife is coming for him, and his response is, how could I do this thing and sin against my God? We see there a heart that was guarded, and it was guarded with a proper affection. An affection that knew God and knew what he was like and knew what he had done. And so in thinking rightly, and that's simply embracing the reality of God, his heart was guarded. And it was indeed life and health for Joseph. Now, giving ourselves to affection for God's Word, and that looks like committing yourself to the truth, and that's our fifth move there. And for that, we look at 4:24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. You see, from the place of committing ourselves to God's Word and committing ourselves to truth, we also commit ourselves to speaking truth. And you know, when you find yourself in the place where you feel like you have to lie, you know something's really off there. Something's really wrong there when you're in a place where you have to live in a deceit. And you have to deceive those who are around you, especially those who love Christ. Especially those who love you. So from a place of committing our thinking to the truth, it must be that we also express the truth to one another. And for our next move, we'll be in verses 25 and 26. And that is to set your eyes on Christ. And this is a method for guarding our hearts. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. And this ties into Jesus Christ. And in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Back to Proverbs 4, verse 26. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or turn to the left. In Mark 8:34, it says, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we see ourselves and guarding our hearts. It's in a place of affection, both for God's word and a place of affection for Jesus Christ. I don't know how much love we're comfortable with these days, or how many displays of affection. You see it differently in different congregations. You see it differently in different denominations, the way that people express love and express affection. I understand there's even some denominations that the men will still greet each other with a holy kiss each other on both cheek, and there is not a thing that I can imagine that would be wrong with that. And when we look at the scripture, though, and we look at John. John was at the table with Jesus, and he's reclining, and he has his head on his chest. There's an intimacy there. And there's a fellowship there. We are meant to experience that same sort of intimacy with Jesus Christ. That fellowship. That trust, that communion, that our eyes are set on Him. A place of love and a place of affection. Now, and our faith, although it's based on a relationship with Christ, it never simply ends there. Verses 26 and 27 of Proverbs 4. Here we're given specific instructions. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. And here the idea is, in guarding our heart, that you must be intentional with your life. We can't drift through. We can't float through. We can't merely go through the motions of life. But we would wake up in the morning and we would think in terms of, I have been saved for a purpose. And God has first loved me, that I can love Him and that I would love Him. I'm in this life to write His word and His truth on my heart. He has given me a heart and He has called it precious, so I will count it precious. I will put good things in my heart. I will direct my heart. And this brings us to the place where we also are watching our feet. And it says, and all your ways will be established. It says, do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. This is the place of repentance, where we look at our lives and we see, like David looked. David was caught and he was brought to the place of repentance. The heroes of the faith, they're brought to places of repentance. And that's the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. That faith. And that repentance. We talked about Judas this morning. And in different conversations about Judas, some people say, well, yeah, but he eventually got to the place where he regretted what he did. Well, there's a worldly sorrow that leads to death. And there's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. You know, this godly sorrow and this repentance looks like watching your feet. And from that place, all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor turn to the left. Psalm 119:59 says, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. This is the place of life. Place of life in Christ Jesus. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I hope you have this imagery in your mind of walking on a trail with clearly marked guidelines, direction of how we live, and direction for how we love. The ways that we guard our hearts, watching what's being put into it and watching to whom it runs and where it runs. and that you would hear the word of Christ. My child, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you that you are concerned about us, that you give us your truth to lead us and to guide us. We plead with you, Father, to guard our hearts, that you'll be glorified. Give us the diligence that we need to think rightly about the things that we look at, the things that we embrace, and the things that we rejoice in. And give us hearts to think about you, and to rejoice in you, and to walk in your truth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 45.